Welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. We help you stay happy, healthy, and whole so your small business can thrive and stay vital in this ever-changing world. With holistic coaches and small business owners, Jill and Dan.
Welcome to our Small Business Whole Health Podcast. And I'm here today with Daniel.
Hello, Jill.
I think I'm getting better at these every time. And today we are going to talk about imposter syndrome, what it is, how to fix it, why we get it, and what you can do about it. So for imposter syndrome, I always think it is, have you ever walked into a room and thought you're not worthy to be here? Do you have feelings of I'm not good enough, or what if people find out about me? And then you've got some examples as well, haven't you, Dan?
Yeah, that's a pretty good description of it. And I think we all feel this to some degree, don't we? Whether it's in your hobbies or particularly the work environment, I think it comes up a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely in work.
Yeah, it's a feeling that you're not qualified enough or you're not intelligent enough, which are the main ones, that you're just winging it and people are going to figure this out and maybe ridicule you or not respect you. If you're particularly accomplished or successful, you don't allow yourself to enjoy it and you think it's all based on luck as opposed to actually being qualified and deserving it.
Yeah, those are good examples of it, I think. And apparently women get it more than men.
Yeah, that's apparently so. Well, the studies that I read, it was the International Journal of Behavioral Science, said that 70% of people experience this at some point in their lives, but the majority were women.
Interesting. I wonder why that is. Do you think that's a cultural thing?
I think so, yeah. Particularly in the work environment, where even to this day, there's still peer discrepancies between men and women, isn't there?
Yeah, I used to have it a lot because I used to be a statistician and now I was in charge of the North. The North.
It's only Game of Thrones.
Yes. I was Daenerys. And I used to have a guy who worked for me who was older than me, but essentially I was his boss. And when we walked into a room together, people would refer to him rather than me.
Just because he was a male?
Older male, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really annoying.
So maybe women feel it more, particularly in the work environment, just because it's still ingrained in culture.
I think it is.
Yeah. It is.
And especially when I was working in the courts, in the court environment, and it's still that culture of authoritarians and very male dominated as well.
Yeah. So if you do feel as though you have imposter syndrome, it might not necessarily be something that you've done to yourself. It could be so ingrained in society that you just think that's the norm.
Yeah. And people treat you like that as well. It's interesting. Yeah.
It is interesting. And we're going to give some examples of how we felt it and ways which you can try and overcome this as well, aren't we?
Absolutely. Did you know, I'm going to give you an interesting fact, that the researchers coined the term imposter syndrome in 1978 and defined it as an individual experience of self-perceived phoniness.
Phoniness, now there's a word.
Phony.
There's a word I've never used.
It's a bit American, isn't it?
Yeah.
Phony. So there you go.
Some people listening might not have ever heard the term imposter syndrome, but they may have, now that we coined in the term and we're bringing it into the light, you might now recognize that this is what they feel.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel it a lot of the time as well.
Yeah. And particularly if you look at these successful people or people you aspire to, and if you are into personal development and growth and you're trying to develop your career in particular, imposter syndrome will always be there to some degree, because if you push yourself and you learn new skills and you're trying to progress, then you're always going to have to be outside of your comfort zone. So you might always feel as though you're winging it to some degree. So we're going to give you a few tactics to try and suppress that. But yeah, it's not something that will ever go away 100%, but you can reframe the way you deal with it, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I've got loads of examples of when I've had imposter syndrome in my work and life. Probably we've still got it now. We're podcasting. I mean, who are we to do a podcast on?
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this and literally couldn't be a better example, could we, Gus?
I know.
Go on, I'll let you explain the situation this morning as we do this podcast.
So this morning we're super excited because today is the day that our podcast got approved by iTunes. So we've jumped through 3 months worth of hurdles, haven't we, Dan, to get here. And, you know, who's to say that we can't do a podcast? So we've got a bit of imposter syndrome about that. We're not quite there, but Joe Rogan better watch out, hasn't he?
Yeah. I think it's a natural feeling because people who have been doing what you aspire to do, if they've been doing it for years and they've achieved levels of success, and then you come in as the new starter, it's a little bit like David and Goliath, isn't it? You feel as though, wow, well, like, I don't deserve to be amongst these people, but they started exactly where you were. And you just need to reframe those thoughts.
Yeah, and allow yourself to be a beginner, because I think sometimes we expect too much of ourselves, that we should know this stuff. This should be in our heads, but really, why should we know something when we've not been taught it or tried it? So I think that's a big part of imposter syndrome as well.
Yeah, and it's very cliche, but you always hear sayings like, it's not the destination, it's the journey. But it's kind of true. You have to, all those times where you're struggling and you're learning and you're trying to catch up with everyone, when you look back, that's the enjoyable part, because all those little wins that you get, like all those hurdles that you overcome, that's actually the enjoyable part, isn't it? Like when you feel as though you accomplished all those little victories.
The journey. I think it happens anytime you feel vulnerable, because you're putting yourself out there, or you're trying to, like you said, trying to grow. It's that vulnerability feeling, and it must be a protective mechanism in your brain saying, you're not good enough. It's the inner dickhead. We're always talking about the inner dickhead. The inner dickhead gets kicked in there, doesn't he? And says things like, and it is a protective thing, isn't it? It's to help you biologically not go out there and cause more stress to your body.
Yeah, well, it's ego as well. Like a lot of people struggling with asking for help. When you ask for help, it uncovers the fact that you don't know what you're doing, and that can often be, our precious egos can take a bit of a hit, can't they?
Yeah.
But if you try and reframe that thought, so if you say, for instance, if you work as part of a team, just try and think, well, if I don't ask for help, then it's going to slow everyone else down, and that's actually more detrimental than what you're doing. So try and reframe that thought. And if another example, if you feel as though you're just winging it, like me and you think we're just winging it doing this podcast, like you do to some degree, don't you?
Yeah.
But then think, well, I might be just winging it in the start, but everyone else did. And it's better than not doing anything at all. Slow progress is better than just not doing anything. So you have to wing it for a while and then you become better. There's no avoiding that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are winging it. It's just that they come across more confident in their winging. So that can be kind of intimidating to somebody who's new. That used to happen a lot to me in my work. I think. And also you think that you're going to get found out somehow that you're not good enough for this, because your inner dickhead is telling you that you're not good enough. And that's not true. And that's one of my top tips as well, is separate your feelings from the fact. And I don't know if our listeners have ever heard of Byron Katie, but I really like her. And she's written quite a few books. And one of the ones that I've got here is called 1,000 Names for Joy. It's really good. And she says, whenever you're feeling imposter syndrome, that you're not good enough, or you're getting upset with somebody or a situation, she says you should always ask yourself these four questions. And the first one is it true? How do you know it's true? And the second question is, can you absolutely know it's true? Because our brains do switch into this thing and we blow stuff all out of proportion before we've even spoken to the person or got to the situation. And question three is, how do you react when you believe that thought? So go into yourself. What does it make you feel like? And number four is, who would you be without that thought? And those questions are really powerful to sit and ask yourself.
Yeah. And when you say that, it reminds me of something you've said in previous podcasts as well. Imagine if these thoughts you're having, if that was one of your friends talking to you like that, would you want them to be your friend? And that's a really powerful image, isn't it?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things to do in my head.
Yeah, to try and externalize those thoughts as someone else, like saying them to you. It makes it a bit more obvious that your thoughts are actually holding you back as opposed to helping you, doesn't it?
Yeah, because half the time people aren't thinking what you're thinking that they're thinking in your head, and it's just self-perceived. And the biggest obstacle to overcome is yourself most of the time.
Yeah, I see it and hear about quite a lot working in like a gym environment. People who, well, it's actually from people who want to get fit and healthy, but they say, I just can't go to a gym because I'm scared of what other people think and they're looking at me. And I understand that's if you're self-conscious, it's a rational thought and a lot of people do think that. But when you realize, well, do you walk around every day judging people? Like you don't. People are far, far more interested in themselves to walk around a gym all day judging everybody else. Like no one cares. Everyone's interested in themselves. And when you realize that, like no one cares. It's quite liberating, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the same for classes. I get people, beginners come in and going, oh, everyone will be looking at us. And you know what? Nobody's looking at anybody else or judging people. You know, people are far more obsessed with themselves than they are with anybody else, 9 times out of 10. So, and then they come in and they sit right at the back so they can't see us. And I'm like, come to the front of it so you can see us. I actually prefer beginners to be right at the front so that I can actually keep an eye on them. But, you know, I don't understand that's a psychological barrier that they have to overcome themselves. But yeah, it's really interesting to see that. It happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah, people are interested in themselves. And a good way to think of this, I only thought of this recently, but it's like, you know, if you saw, if you were out socially and someone took a photograph and there was 10 people and you were one of them, who's the first person you look at when you look at that photograph?
Oh, God, yeah.
You just look at yourself. You don't look at anybody else.
No.
Like me and you do a lot of, like say we're doing a lot of classes on Zoom. There might be 20 people on the screen, but you can guarantee anyone who's doing the class, they can see all 20 people. They don't look at anyone else. They just look at the little tile on the square that they're on. They just like, and it's true. I do it. You do it. Everyone does it. So
yeah,
like start thinking these things. If you feel imposter syndrome, think about these things logically. Like everyone is interested in themselves.
Oh gosh, totally.
People aren't judging you 24/7.
I know. And I've rejected loads of photos where everyone else looked great and I look crap.
But yeah, you hear it all the time where people say, I don't like that photo. And you're like, well, you look perfectly fine, but people judge themselves so much.
Yeah, I think we judge ourselves more than what other people are judging us.
Oh, God, yeah. But it's when you mentioned earlier that your thoughts and your feelings, there's a good Carl Jung quote, which you've said before, get your thoughts and your feelings and make them conscious, because if they're just in the back of your mind and you don't realize they're happening, they're going to affect you. I know you like that quote, so do you want to...
I'm going to say it.
Do you want to drop it again?
I'll drop it. So it is, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will run your life and you will believe it's fate.
Yeah, it's gold, that one, isn't
it? That's profound, man. I love Carl Jung.
And a good way to overcome imposter syndrome is actually to realize that you might never overcome it 100%. The goal should be to realize that you're not going to eliminate this, because like we said earlier, if you keep pushing yourself and you strive to be better and better, you're always going to have to learn, and there's always going to be someone one step ahead. So you might always have imposter syndrome, but the goal should be to not overcome it, but to try and eliminate the feelings as quickly as possible.
Mm.
So as soon as you feel that imposter syndrome coming on, reframe the thought as quickly as possible. So the goal should be to speed up that process, not to try and never have the syndrome again.
Yeah. Have you got an example of when you had imposter syndrome?
Then? Oh yeah. Loads, but the main one, which is applicable to, I suppose, the podcast. Well, actually doing the podcast from start to finish, it's been imposter syndrome.
This is us in imposter syndrome, but we're still cracking on, aren't we? So
yeah. Good. But me and you have spoke about studying with the Czech Academy and the Czech Institute quite a lot. I remember being on the first day in class with the Czech Institute. You have to like stand up, introduce yourself, a bit of an icebreaker. And I think I was like in the middle of the class. But the people before me, like particularly one guy, I remember, he stood up and he's like, he'd been a medical student for like 3 years and he knew the body inside out. And then it came to me and I'd been a personal trainer for like 6 weeks. Like my knowledge compared to his was just minimal. And yeah, you get this feeling that came over me like, oh, do I belong here? Am I totally out of my depth? Mm. And then it can stop you in your tracks a little bit. And it can make you feel like it can be quite daunting as well. Yeah. But once you get over the feeling of what I found really helped was just asking questions. You get that old cliche of there's no such thing as a bad question. And then the more you ask, the more you realize people actually enjoy helping you.
Yeah.
That's what I found. And then you think of if someone asks you a question, they're stuck, and you can really help them out, how good does that feel? So whenever you feel stuck and you want to ask for help, now I try and think, oh, well, I know how good it is to help someone. So don't be afraid to ask, because you're going to give them that feeling of helping you, which is really good.
Yeah. Gratitude is a powerful thing, isn't it?
So what's your main examples of imposter syndrome?
Oh gosh, I've got loads, Dan. One of them was when I came back from maternity leave. So your head's not kind of in the right place anyway. And I used to, like I said, be a statistician. And yeah, when I got back, the whole management team had changed. And the guy who'd been doing my job had been doing it really well. And I come back with half a head in baby land and half a head in work. So you don't feel like you're doing either one really particularly well. And yeah, and I remember walking into a management meeting thinking, shit, I don't really want to be here. And everyone was looking at me thinking, well, this is what is in my head. What the hell is she doing in here? And yeah, it's really tough. And then another time, my manager, who then I grew to love him, we just got on really well after I got over myself. He made me do this massive presentation in front of all these barons and, oh gosh, I don't know who they were. They're all titled people. And I was just stood there thinking, what am I doing here talking to these people? And like, are they actually going to listen to us? But then when I actually thought about it, I was thinking, God, you know what? I'd bloody run this database. I've built it. There's nobody else in the country who could have done this. Like, and they were, yeah. So you have to kind of reframe it rather than thinking, oh God, I'm from Meshwinning. What am I doing talking about all these people? Like, they're not going to listen to me. To actually, you know what? It's reframing it, like you said, isn't it? That who else could do this presentation? They've asked you to do it. So, you know, and they're all really interested and they're lovely. So yeah, once you get over yourself, some of the times you've just got to do stuff. And I think a big part of it is perfectionism as well. That stopped you in your tracks quite a lot.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. That's probably the most common one. It's trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned on the podcast before, there's this very simple saying, but done is better than perfect. Because if you chase perfect, you'll never release anything. You'll literally never do anything.
Our podcast is a perfect example of that.
Yeah, like it's far from perfect, but you might get 1% better every time you do it.
Yeah.
And there's no other way to achieve that 1% than to just do it, is there?
If you get 1% better every day for a year, you end up 37% better. But if you get 1% worse every day of the year, you end up at zero.
James Clear.
Atomic Habits.
I'm really enjoying it, by the way, because I've started listening to the audiobook.
Yeah, I made Dan listen to it because I'm obsessed. So I'm listening to it again so that we can do another podcast on it, because it is one of the best books ever. Also, I think, and Tony Robbins talks about this a lot, language. The language that you use is really important, because if you're going into somewhere thinking, oh, what am I doing here? I can't do this. This is too much for me. Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about this a lot. The biology, your belief creates your biology and it affects your body. And Tony Robbins always says, like, try to flip it around instead of thinking, I'm not here. Think, well, why wouldn't I be here? Why can't I do this job? And, you know, he talks about if you're really angry and you start going, oh, I'm sick of this, I hate it. Those are really powerful words to be putting into your system. So try to flip it around, just saying, this is challenging, but I can do it.
And always think, if you're in one of those situations, oh, I don't belong here, but you are there. Life didn't just all of a sudden drop you in a totally random situation. Like, it's probably a long series of small steps which you've earned and have pointed you in that direction. So try and think of that. There's a reason why you are there. Doesn't mean it's not going to be challenging, but you belong to be there.
Yeah. You've got every right to be there as much as anybody else.
Yeah. And it's just self-talk is the biggest thing. Just try and reframe those thoughts.
We've got every right to podcast as much as Joe Rogan and Russell Brand.
Yeah, there's no like gatekeeper out there who says like, you deserve this. Like, how dare you do a podcast? Or any other instance. It's all just people's ideas. Someone just thought of an idea for a podcast and it just came about.
Yeah.
So why? What's to say you can't do it and be better than other people?
Yeah, the God of podcasts.
The Godcast. That's what the we should have called it.
We should have called it that, shouldn't we? The God. Yeah. The Godcaster.
Yeah. So have you got any other major points you'd like to?
Yes, I have got some. I've got two more major points that I'd like to refer to the jury. First one is visualize. This is what professional athletes use all the time. And I know it sounds a bit woo-woo sometimes, but put yourself into those situations in your head sometimes. Just picture yourself doing really well at a presentation or whatever it is that you need to do. It's again, it's that feeding that positive spiral of gratitude and all of those good feelings that create those good hormones that rush into your body that give you confidence.
Although we do talk about a lot of woo-woo stuff, I don't necessarily think that is particularly woo-woo, like you mentioned. Athletes have been doing this for years and years and years. And there's some really simple examples. You see people like downhill skiers and people on bobsleigh teams. They'll literally stand before they start the downhill run. They'll close their eyes and you can see them physically going through the course in the head before they actually do the event. And there's studies shown that all the same muscles and neurons will fire in the body as if they were actually doing the event, but it's all in the head. So imagine if you were at home and you could do that event in your head for hours and hours and hours without actually being there, how much of an advantage you're going to have over your competitors. And it's proven to work.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's one of the positive mental attitude. Can you remember Linford Christie? That was his big thing.
Yeah, well, it's good enough for Linford Christie. It's good enough for me and you.
So yeah, so visualize, that's a really powerful tool. There was a really good TED Talk about power moves. You know, like if you put yourself in a power move before you go into a, that's it, Dan's doing an example of a power move now. that before you go into a meeting, it puts that feelings. For women, it's kind of testosterone, because we forget that women have testosterone as well, which gives us that feeling of, not aggression, but just a kind of a boost of confidence to, if you've got to go into a meeting and you know you want to stand your ground and state your case, go and do a few power moves in the toilet beforehand, then you'll get some good hormones into the system, ready to like stand your ground and do it. So, yeah.
Jordan Peterson talks about that as well. And there's 12 rules for life. Stand up tall, chest out, shoulders back.
Yeah, didn't I tell you that?
Yeah, I've never read his book, but I've heard it. but I've heard it a few times as well. It's one of his most common ones, yeah.
Stand up tall. Posture is massive, I think, for that whole, you know, if you slump down and you can't breathe properly and you're not getting that good energy going around your system, you've got blockages everywhere. Stand up tall, breathe. We call it in dancing tits and teeth.
It's like the mind is the body and the body is the mind. The reason I got into this whole fitness thing was through a guy called Elliot Hulse, who I've studied like a little bit as well. And he's a big influence on me. And the first thing that resonated with me that he said is the body is the mind and the mind is the body. You can improve your physiology by thinking that you're healthier, or you can even do it the other way around. Even just by improving your posture, you're going to have better thoughts. If you look confident, you're going to feel confident. Mm. And vice versa, if you feel confident, you're going to look confident. I don't really like the term fake it till you make it, but it has some degree of accuracy in terms of that.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right, my last point is reward yourself. Break the cycle of continually seeking validation from outside and learn to pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, that outside validation's a good point. I've never really thought about it that way, but that is true. We do. There's a guy I listen to, Gary Vaynerchuk. How does he put it? Stop buying things to impress people who you don't even like. So that's, mm-hmm. He talks about money a lot, and that's essentially what you're doing. You buy stuff, you buy the flash new car or the new big house to impress people on social media who you don't even like.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So learn to give yourself a pat on the back. And I think me and you deserve a pint after this when we get out of lockdown for getting our podcast out, up and ready and going.
I mean, any excuse to get out and have a pint these days, eh?
Yeah, it's been like, 3 months since we made a phone. There'll be lots of celebrations going on. But yeah, do reward yourself. Reward your wins, because I think we don't, do we? We just keep going on and on and on and continually getting into that cycle, but stop and look back at how far you've come. It's really powerful and it's really important to do.
Yeah, otherwise all those little wins you get and achievements, they'll seem meaningless if you kind of share them and enjoy them with friends or family.
Exactly.
And then what's the point in doing it?
Exactly.
So I've enjoyed this imposter syndrome one, and it's like you say, it's something that a lot of people don't, they feel it, but they don't put a name on it.
Yeah.
But hopefully this will have shed a little bit of light on it, and a few of the tips can help you. And even knowing that you're not alone as well is a big factor, I think.
Yeah, and putting a name to it, that these feelings that you have actually, you know, Carl Jung, unconscious into the conscious, and then you can start identifying when you're having those feelings and what it is, and putting a name to it can actually really help.
Yeah, so listeners, if you've experienced this and you want to give us some examples, and even give examples of how you've overcome it, and even just by listening to some examples, other people who read the comments might think, oh, so that's not just me. I actually feel this in this example or this situation. And you realize that you're not alone. That can be quite empowering, to realize that those feelings of loneliness, like, other people do feel them. So let us know, and let us know if any of the tips which we've shared can help you.
Do let us know. We like to hear from you. That's all part of the process.
Because me and Jill learn as well. We're not experts at everything, far from it.
We're not God.
yeah, we're not Godcasters. So, yeah, we like to hear, because listening to feedback and reviews, it gives us other things to talk about as well. And we realize, oh, we need to expand on that a little bit more. And that's really interesting. I wouldn't mind researching that. So, yeah, so get involved.
Yeah, please do. So thank you for listening. And Dan, where can we find you this week?
If you go to Facebook, at Daniel Purvis Health and Fitness, and you go to the iTunes podcast app and research Small Business Whole Health. That's the best place to find me.
That is awesome. Yes, yes. Oh, the only place you're going to find me this week is on the smallbusinesswholehealth.com website. So it's all good. So please subscribe, leave some feedback, good feedback, obviously, because our egos can't cope with.
Yeah. And pass the pod.
Pass the pod, share the love, spread the joy.
Yeah. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye.